Malachi chapter 3, if you'll read along with me, I'll read aloud, you follow along. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. If you're able to stand, Malachi chapter 3, verse 7, even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. And if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall the vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God, as we teach a very important truth this morning. And then, Lord, that we would make application in our lives. And Lord, thank you for this series. Thank you for the windows of the Bible. And Lord, please pour out a blessing upon us, Lord, as we pray, or as we preach on the subject of the windows of blessings. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I love to take a word like windows. I like to take a study and just start in Genesis and through Revelation, just see all the different places something like this shows up. And especially this idea of the windows of heaven. Wasn't that an interesting little statement there? And it says, and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, the windows of heaven. I like windows. I couldn't imagine living in a house that didn't have windows. I spent a lot of time just looking out the windows. And by the way, I'm excited to find out heaven has windows. What do you think about that? Three times in the King James Holy Bible, you'll find the exact phrase, the windows of heaven. We read one of them here in Malachi, where the windows can be opened and a blessing can be poured out. The other two times are in connection with the flood and the judgment that God poured out upon the world. Genesis 7:11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day where all the fountains of the deep broken up and the windows of heaven were open. And that was part of the flood, part of the judgment of God. Genesis chapter 8, verse 2, the fountains also of the deep and windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from the heaven was restrained. One time you'll find in the Bible the windows in heaven, and then you'll also find the phrase the windows from on high. Windows in heaven, we have already preached on that out of that portion of Scripture on when we preached the message, the windows of the impossible, out of 2 Kings chapter 7. Remember that Lord on whom the hand the king leaned, and he answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And here Samaria was threatened with a life extinguishing famine, and it looked like the city was in peril. And then a prophet shows up, a man of God, says, hey, tomorrow you're going to be able to buy food for practically nothing right here in the gates. And that was the comment he made. Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven. You know what? God did it. And he provided. And so in this instance, the windows in heaven again is talking about the opportunity that God took to pour out a blessing when it seemed impossible. Then we read in Isaiah 24:18, and it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snares. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. Isn't it interesting? In Malachi, we're talking about the windows being open and a blessing being poured out. In Genesis, the windows of heaven open and judgment is poured out. In 2 Kings chapter 7, the windows of heaven are open and a blessing is poured out. In Isaiah 24:18, talking about when Israel will be sold off into captivity and overrun and overtaken. Again, the windows of heaven or the windows on from on high are opened and judgment comes out. Stay with me, folks, because we're going somewhere. It is important to understand that we have a God who is most ready to open the windows of heaven to send down blessings. But also, if we defy him, if we disobey him, he is also most ready to open the same windows of heaven and send forth judgment. I just want to stand here and defend something for a minute. More and more, we are having a new brand of Christians and a new brand of church that does not want to hear about the judgment side of God. Many Christians today, they're flat out rejecting the God of the Bible. They're going to their modern day churches and their modern day errands and handing them gold and saying, make us a God which is more palatable to us. We want a God that loves us and tolerates our sin. We want a God that sends blessings but never judgment. We want a God that rewards us whether we do right or not. We want a God, we reject the God of the Bible. Make us a golden calf and let's all pretend that that's who God really is. But folks, heaven does have windows, but they're not always open to pour out blessings. Sometimes they're open to pull out judgment. You say, well, what decides that? Well, what decides it is either our obedience or our disobedience to God, to God. I'd like to open the windows of blessings. I don't know about you. I'd like to know about opening the windows of blessings. And Malachi chapter 3 certainly tells us a way that we can open up the windows of blessings into our life. Let's look first of all at this portion of scripture. Preacher, how can I open up the windows of blessings upon me and upon my family? First of all, I want to draw your attention to the command of God. The command of God. Verse number 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? Here it is, in tithes and offerings. You know, the Bible commands us that we are to bring our first fruits, our tithes and our offerings into God's storehouse. Here's the command, verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. Notice this whole thing starts with a command from God. The command for God gives us then a choice and opportunity. We either obey that command and the windows of heaven open and the blessings come, or we disobey the command of God and God opens the same windows, only pours out his judgment instead of his blessing. Let me just shortcut this and help you young people avoid a lot of heartache in life. If God says it, just do it. If God says it, just obey it. By the way, if God says it, put a smile on your face and say, thank God he's smarter than I am. And you know what? It's an honor to obey the Lord. Get rid of that spirit of rebellion. Get rid of that spirit of pride. Get rid of those excuses that you're hiding behind and just obey the Lord. God is looking for obedience and he'll always bless obedience. Here's the command that we're to honor the Lord with our tithes and with our offerings. Say, preacher, what is a tithe? If you looked up the definition of that word as it's used in the original Hebrew here, the tithe simply means, it's very simple, it means a tenth. A tenth, that's what it means. And so what God is saying is, my command is that you bring a tenth of your increase. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So God says, I'm gonna command you something, but I'm going to command it and attach a blessing to it. Isn't that good how God does that? He didn't have to do that. As God, he could have commanded us and said, do it. And by the way, you ought to just be glad I give you air to breathe and food to eat and health to be able to get up this morning. But he says, I want you to obey me. Here's the command. And by the way, if you do, I'm going to attach a blessing to it. And that's what God did that. Now, what is a tithe? It's one-tenth, one-tenth, one-tenth of our increase. And so the Bible says it's to be the first fruits. And so when we come here on Sunday, the first day of the week, we're to bring a tithe, 10%. The tithe is 10% of all of the increase that God's given us in the previous week, okay? And if we do that every first day of every week, then we can keep up on that. Sometimes the tithe may be smaller because maybe the increase is smaller that week. Sometimes the tithe is larger because something unexpected happened and the increase was a little more. Or maybe there was some overtime and the increase was a little more. Now, folks, God is supposed to get the first fruits. We don't take what God's given us as our increase, whether it's your paycheck or whatever, and we say, well, I got to pay this bill, this bill, this bill, this bill, this bill, this bill. And then if there's any money left over, we'll see about what we give to the Lord. No, the first fruits means that 10%, by the way, of your gross income, because your taxes is another bill that you're paying. And you know what? You shouldn't say, well, I only got this money. No, you paid taxes. They just took it out before. It's another bill. If you're going to start down that road, then you'll start using your electric and you'll start using this. And pretty soon, well, we didn't have any increase. Yes, you did. You were increased off of your gross income, and that ought to be a tithe is the Lord's. The Bible says it belongs to him already. That's why God says, shall a man rob me? Because this isn't something that's yours. It's something that belongs to him. The tithe is the Lord's. And so by bringing our 10%, we're only giving to God what is already his. If we keep it, then we have stolen from him what is his. And that's why he makes the accusation, will a man rob God? Because the tithe belongs to the Lord. But the Bible doesn't just say that they were robbing God in the tithes. He said, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? Now, what is an offering? An offering is a voluntary act of giving. The tithe already belongs to God. Our offering then is above and beyond the tithe. The giving of our tithe, listen to this, is a measure of our obedience to God. The giving of the offering is a measure of our love and appreciation for God. I'm going to say something, but you think it through for a minute. Folks, me and my wife stopped tithing 30 years ago. It doesn't mean that we don't give our 10%. But people that just tithe just give 10%. I quit tithing a long time ago. I'm not going to be just giving God what is his, what he commands of me. I want to bring an offering. I want to bring evidence of my love, my appreciation for all that he's done for me and all that he's done for my wife and all that he's done for my family and all the blessings of being born in America and the health that we have to get up every day and be able to do what we can do. I want to show God that I love him. So I'm not just, you know, listen, get off this thing of being a calculator Christian. Listen, I'm trying to get blessings into your life. Okay, you want to open those windows. If you're opening one window or another, I promise you. Something's coming out of the window onto your life right now. It just seems like it makes sense that you'd want the blessings of the Lord upon your life. So what are we talking about? Offerings. Well, preacher, what I do is I bring my tithe and I put it in the offering plate. I'm going to tell you why I do it that way. And then I always add an offering with my tithe that I'm giving to the general account. But also I want to give another offering to the missions program of our church. Because I'm telling you what, there's so many promises connected with supporting missions that I want to get in on that. Not only that, I want to be able to walk up and down that hallway and read those letters. And when I hear about people being saved, think, I had a part in that. Lord, thank you for giving me a part in that. I bring offerings on Wednesday night. And by the way, I try to give in every time we collect. Every once in a while, I'll pull my wallet out and I just don't have any cash. I mean, any cash. Some of the ushers are suggesting we put one of those card slide debit things, credit card slides on the side of our offering plate. We're going to, no, we're not going to look into that. But I have had that suggested to me. I don't know. But sometimes I'll just open and I'll go, oh my goodness. Now, my dad taught me this. He said, and he told us, and he said it, and he did it. He said, I just believe anytime the offering plate is sent around, It's an opportunity. It's an act of worship. I'm not going to miss out on it. And he just always, you know, and again, you might get caught every once in a while. You open it and just, okay, Lord, you know, it's empty. My wife got my wallet again. And that doesn't happen. Actually, I've gotten in her wallet a few times, but come on, ladies, help us out now. And but every once in a while I get stuck. But matter of fact, I was in a meeting, and I was busy on the front row, and I was looking over my notes, and I was getting ready to preach, and I wasn't paying as much attention as I probably should have been, and the pastor was taking an offering. Well, I didn't hear him say, we're taking an offering for the guest speaker here tonight, and so somebody prayed, and they came by with an offering plate. I open my wallet, I pull out some money, I put it in the offering plate, and it goes on, and then the guy behind me taps me on the shoulder, and he said, hey. I said, what? He said, did you know that you just gave to the offering for your love gift? And I said, yes. I said, I want to make sure I get a good love gift. And so, you know, that's what I said, just that quick. I said, yes, I want to make sure I get a good love gift, you know. And you know what? That's about what I got from that shirt. No, it wasn't. I said, you know, help yourself out sometimes, amen. But, and it's just because I'm programmed. I'm not sitting there trying to think of a reason not to give. I'm sitting there glad that I can come up with reasons to give and have the opportunity to give. Oh, this could change your life. It could change your life. But I hurt for some of you. And I don't know who gives what. I could know. I could go back and look. Never have, never will. I want to be able to stand up, preach with a pure heart. But listen to me, some of you be more worried about what the preacher knowing than you are that God knows and he sees. And I can't do a thing about it, but he can do something about it. And he'll do something positive if you'll get on board, or he's going to continue putting a curse upon your life. We're going to get on to that in a minute. Boy, 2019 would be a good time to put away that sin in your life and get that rebellious spirit out of your heart. And throw away all your stacked up excuses why you're an exception to the rule. And just decide, I'm going to have God open the windows of blessing upon me and my family. And I'm going to do it by not robbing him of the tithes and offerings that I should be bringing. Now, preacher, where should they be given? The Bible says in this portion of scripture that you're in verse number 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. All right, into the storehouse, that they may be meat in, what's the next two words? Mine house. Now stay with me, folks. What is the storehouse? What does it mean? What's storehouse mean? Look it up. You know what that word means? It means treasure house. It means the house where you put your treasures. God says, it's mine house. Whatever that storehouse is my house. And I'm going to tell you where God's house is. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, speaking of Jesus, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. In the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the church. Matthew 16:18, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. God, Jesus said that. Where's his house? His house is in the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of, doesn't say the church of Jerry Ross. It says the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Well, preacher, you don't understand. We, instead of taking 10% and bringing it to the church, we've got some family members that are struggling. And what we do is we take that money and we help our family members. And because we do that, we think God's happy and satisfied. No, you stole God's money and you took it from where he said to put it and you're misappropriating it. And the curse of God is still going to come upon your life. Listen, you don't get to obey your way and then God's satisfied. You obey his way and then he's satisfied. 1 Corinthians 1:2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 10:32, give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. 1 Corinthians 11:22, what? Have ye not houses to eat and drink, or despise ye the church of God? 1 Corinthians 15:9, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." 2 Corinthians 1:1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth." Listen to this. God's plan for reaching the world is the local New Testament church. That's his plan. The way those efforts to reach the world is to be funded is through the tithes and offerings of God's people. That is God's plan, and that is God's command. Well, I use my tithe to help my family. I use my tithe to help a neighbor this week. I gave it to some parachurch organization. I bought homeschool curriculum with it. Well, you stole from God then. You stole from God. It's an act of obedience to give your tithes and offerings. Don't misappropriate it. Listen to me. Your generosity to other people or projects does not erase your responsibility to your local assembly. Don't misappropriate the tithe. Your tithes and offerings are to be brought to your local assembly on the first day of every week. Giving is a form of worship. Giving is a form of worship. It's an act of obedience. It's an act of love. It's an act of appreciation for what God has increased you during the past week. It also funds the organization that God has created to reach the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we've looked at the command in this portion of Scripture. Now, let's look at the blessings promised to obedient givers. The blessings promised to obedient givers. Oh, I like this. The Bible says here, verse 10, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Preacher, I can't even imagine such a thing. You telling me that if I bring 10% of God's increase in my life and an offering with that, that God says, "You prove me. You see if I'll owe anyone. You see if I don't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing." By the way, this is going to be a blessing that's going to be so generous and so abundant that you won't even be able to receive it. You won't know sometimes what to do with that. A lot of times people immediately think about blessings because we live in a materialistic world where our worth, sadly, is even tied to the kind of car we drive or whether we have designer clothes on or how fancy our homes are. But you know what? The real blessings of life, the most important blessings of life, has nothing to do with materialism and things. God promises blessings upon obedient givers. First of all, it starts with this. And by the way, some of you, I mean, think back right now when you newly got saved and you hadn't been saved very long. And then during your discipleship process or in a message, you learned about this idea of tithing. And then all of a sudden it was like, wow, you know what? God wants me to do that. And you know, remember when you first time you wrote out your tithe check? And maybe you added a little offering with it, and you came, and you couldn't wait. The part of the service you were most excited about, well, you know, stop singing. Let's take an offering. Get that offering playing. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm ready to do it. Watch this, folks. The act of obedience brings in a built-in blessing with it. The act of obedience brings a built-in blessing. You know, God has wired us in such a way that inside, God gives us a level of satisfaction and peace just knowing that we did what God wanted us to do. And so you think about all the blessing of knowing that you're obeying God. Doing right has its own built-in reward. Can I say this, folks? I enjoy tithing. I enjoy bringing offerings. Listen, God loves a cheerful giver. Man alive, put a smile on your face. It's an honor to be a part of God's word. It's a blessing to obey the Lord. It's a blessing to give to God's work and to fund God's church. But these blessings that come back to us, folks, are not always monetary. But certainly, could I say this? That is included also in this. Okay? Blessings come upon your house when you are an obedient giver. Blessings come upon your family when you're an obedient giver. Blessings come upon your marriage when you're an obedient giver. Blessings come upon your ministry when you're, Sunday school teacher, please tell me that there's not a thief teaching in our Sunday school department. Hey, children's workers and primary workers. Hey, masters, tell me, please, there's no thieves teaching our children about how to live the Christian life. By the way, some of you ought to take the church constitution and bylaws and read what you agreed to when you joined the church. Part of your agreement is to financially support this church. You know why? Because good night, that ought to just come with the Christian life. What I'm teaching here is elementary Christianity. This isn't an advanced course. This ought to be something we got early on. You know what? You want the blessings of God upon your ministry. You want the blessings of God upon your health. You want blessings of God upon your well-being. You want the blessings of God upon your peace of mind in 1,000 different ways. God blesses those who are faithful and cheerful givers, and you cannot outgive God. I mean, just folks, let's just say this. One of the regular, delightful parts of our life is just sitting back, watching God keep his word. You know, it's not an unusual thing. It's a very usual thing. Many times it's a weekly thing in our life where something very unexpected happens. And I'm not, again, always talking about monetary, but that happens a lot. Where we were not expecting something, but we got it. Well, why should I be surprised? Didn't God just say that he would do it? That he would do it. Well, I tried tithing. I did it for about 3 weeks. We didn't win the lottery, and Publishers Clearinghouse didn't show up to the door, and so I quit tithing. You rascal. You rotten rascal. You rotten thief. Listen to me. You rotten thief. You're robbing God. God, you don't think God had the foreknowledge to see whether you were serious enough about it or not? Listen, you don't play games with God. You don't try obedience, and then if I like it, I'll keep it. You obey. You obey. Matter of fact, sometimes when you start tithing, God might allow some financial reversals at first to test to see whether or not you're doing it for the right motive or not. But you know what? Not every week of our life things go great, and sometimes something breaks down, and sometimes we have to spend unexpected money. But you know what? We don't rob God the next Sunday in the process of that. Oh, I want you to get it. I want you to get it. You're going to get to heaven one of these days and see all the blessings that you missed by not tithing. Number two, well, the blessings of obedient giving. Number two, rebuking of the devourer. Look in verse number 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall the vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, folks, this is interesting to me because not only will God, if you bring your tithes and offerings, some of you learn about this for the very first time. Say, preacher, man, I didn't have any idea, and I didn't know this. We've been coming here, and man alive, I want to obey God, and I want to grow in grace, and I want to do the right thing. Well, between now and next Sunday, next Saturday night, you sit down and you look back over the week and say, how much did God increase, give us increase in this past week? And then you take 10% of that, and you bring it to the house of the Lord next Sunday morning. By the way, don't just bring the 10%. Say, you know what? I want God to know that I love him and I appreciate him, and I'm going to add an offering to that. And you know what? You begin this life of obedience, and I promise you, God will bless you. He'll not only pour out heavenly blessing, but he'll rebuke the devourer. Now, who's the devourer? Well, that's the things that are unleashed into our life that destroys and devours. And you know what? Well, I'm not going to tithe, and God just looses the devourer on your car. I'm not going to tithe, and God unleashes the devourer into your washer and dryer. I'm not going to tithe. God caused something to go wrong in your house or your home or your air conditioning unit go, or something happens like, well, you know what? Go ahead. But you know what? Listen to me. You are going to tithe. God is going to get what's his. Now, this is a little insane because we're sitting here in our rebellion.
We got 10% plus an offering that we could freely and voluntarily and cheerfully give, and we can get these blessings. Or we can withhold it and think we're keeping it and have God send a devourer to give, to devour it. And then we robbed ourselves of the blessings, and we're going to get down to the negative aspect of this. But then in return, not only do we not get the blessings, but we live under the curse of God. Folks, listen to me. Does that make any sense to anybody in this room? Then why do we do it? Well, I don't tell you, I'm doing all right. You don't know what all right is. You don't know what all right is. I think some people have lived under the curse of God so long they just think it's normal life. I mean, get near the spout where the glory comes out. Amen. Live there. He rebukes the devourer. All of a sudden, you know what? Clothes last longer than they ought to last, and a vehicle lasts longer than it ought to last, and appliances last longer than they ought to last. And there's, listen, he rebukes the devourer. And by the way, he blesses your nation. Look at Malachi 3:12. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be delightsome, a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, I think this is one of the reasons the judgment's coming upon America. Think of all of the people in this nation, and where are they this morning? Right. And you know what? They're going to go another week where God, despite their life, allows them to have some health and some increase, and they just continue to rob God of it, and God sees a nation. Listen, I know lost people don't get this, but man alive, everybody's saved if you haven't been out on visitation. Everybody's saved. And God's looking down, and he's blessing, and he's blessing, and he's blessing, and he watches people steal and rob and steal and rob and steal and rob. And there comes a point in time where God's patience runs out. Let me tell you two areas where we're putting ourselves on the bullseye of God's judgment. We're stealing his day, and we're stealing his tithe. One of the reasons that the nation of Israel served the amount of time they served in captivity, it was a calculated on the number of Sabbath days that they forgot to set aside unto the Lord. We're robbing his day, we're robbing his tithe, and we've been doing it in a larger majority percentage of our country, and God is going to, one of these days, this thing's coming to a screeching halt. Right. Folks, yeah, you heard it. You heard it. It don't happen that I'm not a prophet, but I'm telling you, one of these days, everybody's going to be wringing their hands. Everybody's going to be talking about how horrible it is. Everybody's going to be taken down. I think this country, we're going to be brought to our knees financially. Right. Don't you complain in that day. Don't you level an accusation against God if you've been stealing his day and stealing his time. Yes, sir. So we see then the blessings that come with it. Well, what about the curse? Well, God warns about that too. Remember, the windows of heaven are open in Genesis and judgment comes. And so the windows of heaven are open in Malachi, and blessings can come. What's the curse that comes of stealing from God? Well, first of all, the curse comes because of the sin of withholding your tithes and offerings. Now, let me just make it plain here. God has commanded that we do that. If God commands us to do something and we refuse to do it, that is a sin in our life, a sin. The sin of withholding your tithes and offerings. Just as doing right has its own built-in reward, disobedient also brings built-in guilt. You know, when you do right, remember that joy you felt, satisfaction? You don't do right, that plate comes by. Don't tell me something doesn't happen inside of your heart. Come on, don't tell me the Holy Spirit don't say, hey. Hey. Come on, do you look forward to offering time or you dread offering time? You feel good about it after offering time? What are you feeling in your heart? There's a built-in reward and built-in guilt for disobedience. Preacher, now that's just what I hear sometimes, and some of you are thinking it right now. Preacher, I feel like sometimes you put people on a guilt trip. Let's make it my fault. Let me make it plain. If you're not tithing, you are guilty. Whether I say anything about it or not. Isn't it easy how people Well, I just quit going to Blessing Baptist Church because I just feel like he's always put me on a guilt trip. Well, if you're open, listen, there's a lot of you. You having a good time this morning? A lot of you? Anybody that's tithing and offering, doing exactly what God tells them in this? You okay? Hey, you enjoying the message? All right. So guilt has nothing to do with what this preacher's saying up here. Well, the guilt is produced by your disobedience, not by the preacher standing behind the pulpit preaching the word of God. Now, I'm trying to tell you this because some of you have already heard that, and some of you stopped and paused for a minute there and thought, well, you know, that's kind of true around here, because I do feel like that I'm made to feel guilty a lot. Why is that? And that's why they'll trot their carcasses out the door, park themselves under some preacher and ain't got the guts to preach anything, the Bible, not hold them to account, not preach the whole oracles of God and all of the counsel of God. And you know what? They're never going to have to feel guilty, but they're still guilty. They're still guilty. You think about that. Did that help you? It helped me saying it. Amen. Are you disobeying the Bible? And guess what? You are guilty of disobeying the Bible. Don't deflect that on your pastor. A good pastor lets you know what the Bible says. If you're disobeying the Bible, you should feel guilty because you are guilty of disobeying the Bible. Complex. By the way, it's really called Holy Spirit conviction. That's what it's called. This is first and foremost, folks, a sin against God. Will a man rob blessed hope? Is that what the verse says? Will a man rob Jerry Ross? Will a man rob the bus ministry? Will a man rob our missionary? No. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, he said. Then he says, you're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me. Now, so the sin and the guilt that comes with that, the conviction that you have to live over about it. Number two, the curse of God then that comes upon your life. Look at verse 9, folks, and please take into account this. You are cursed with a curse. If God says that, you're not avoiding it. I believe there's Christians that literally live their lives under the curse of God. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. I'm going to be careful with the story I tell here, but not long ago. And by the way, I'm saying this for the benefit of families in this room. Please listen to me. Not that long ago, me and my wife had a front row seat watching a family in our church completely self-destruct. I mean, their marriage was destroyed. Financially, they imploded. Their children turned away from God. And as I'm in the middle of this, trying to save this family and help this family, and meeting with the wife and then meeting with the husband and then trying to help the children, the wife looked at me in one of those meetings, and out of the blue, we weren't even talking about this, said, "Preacher, we should have been tithing. We acted like we did, but we never tithed. Not consistently. Preacher, I'm convinced that my family has been living under a curse, and that's one of the major reasons." Isn't it interesting? Here, I'm giving marriage counseling. I'm trying to help parents help their kids. I'm trying to heal a marriage. I haven't even brought it up. But you know what the Holy Spirit said to her? She knew the Bible.
Right.
She knew what God said. Well, that could never happen to my family. You better be careful. Now, are you listening? Here it is. God gives a command. I got this window I can open and put blessings on your life. I got this window I can open and put a curse on your life. It's up to you. It's up to you. You know what? They paid their tithes through the life of their children. They paid their tithes through the lives of their children. They paid their tithes by the destruction of their marriage. The curse of God came upon their life. Amen. Now you kids that are, don't everybody pretty much work at the pizza place? All right. or Walton Turkey Barnes. I mean, you're either kicking turkeys or making pizza. I mean, that's what I get on my knees if it would help. I beg you. Don't you cash a check. I don't care if it's for $10. I'm not old enough to have a job. Don't you open a birthday card.
Right, man. Yes, sir.
Were you increased?
Come on now.
Yeah, but this is for my birthday. If you'll use that excuse, you'll use an excuse. If somebody gives me something, not cash, gives me something.
That's right.
I estimate the value of
it. Yes, sir.
And tithe off of it.
Amen.
All my increase.
Come on.
All my increase.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, if you'll start young, you'll do this. Well, preacher, I might forget something. That's why you give tithes and offerings. Because occasionally, we're going to miss something. And I know I probably have. But I just wanted to, that's why I'm overly generous. And Lord, I think I've got everything. But if I forgot something this month or this week, here you go.
Amen.
Is it worth risking a curse of God upon my life? Maybe it is for you. It's not for me. But see, the curse on my life affects that little lady right there. Curse of God on my life affects this church right here. I'm not living that way. I hope that you'll think about what that lady said. So the curse of stealing from God, we have the sin and the guilt that it brings, the curse of God, and then the withheld blessings. And then the unleashing of the devourer, we've already mentioned that, and then the curse that comes upon a nation. See, I'm going to say, it's unpatriotic not to tithe.
Yes, sir.
I love America. Do you tithe? No, you don't. No, you don't. Because there is a national blessing attached to this. Folks, verse 12 is in the context. And verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer. Verse 12, and it's connected to this. All nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, I hope this is getting somewhere with you. Now, let me review, okay? All right. What's going to happen, preacher? I didn't know this, or I haven't been doing this. Okay. What I do is I just say, all right, this is a brand new week. And we're going to go till Saturday night. And we're going to go back and we're going to look at all the increase. I had a couple preacher friends come in. We made knives for a couple days this week. One of the guys left me some tools. They bought me an apron, a blacksmith apron. You ought to see me in that apron. It is amazing. I didn't think you could look masculine in an apron, but in a blacksmith apron, I'm wearing it next Sunday when I preach. You're not believing me? I can see the look up, but I'm telling you, it doesn't have paisleys or flowers. It's leather. It's a man's. Never mind. Anyway, it looks good as I carry my MERS with my computer in it to the truck, you know. So Jay Reed had a couple of welder's magnets, and I didn't have any, and you've used them. You get welders know what welder's magnets are, and you've used them to latch onto your knife blade when you're doing the grinding. And when he left, he took two and stuck it on the belt grinder and said, here, that's for you. So you know what I did? I got online and said, what do those things cost? You say, you're crazy. Hey, I'm doing okay. How you doing? Hey, we're not rich. God takes well good care of us, though. Are you listening to me? Man, did God say all of your increase? I just don't know why God doesn't do special things for me. Did you tithe the last time on it when he did? That's why. See, I like free stuff. I mean, if I could tell you ladies, all right, listen, watch this. You can go to the store, your favorite store. What's a lady's favorite store? You can go to Hobby Lobby. You can go to Hobby Lobby. And you know how they'll have that 10%? And you can, I found this out the other day. You go online, get that 40% coupon and scan it on there. Right. I'm ashamed I know that. But you can go. I feel terrible about that. You can, if I said, hey, next Tuesday, You can go into Hobby Lobby and you can buy everything for 10%. Man, I'm going to tell you something. Blessed old people would be stampeding those other shoppers over there. Come on. You know how much stuff I've gotten for 10%, 12%, 15%? And a lot. There's a way to live.
Right.
You know all this is about? This is God just wanting to train us to be obedient and to understand that obedience comes with blessings. And it's not just tithing, folks. Young people, I started the message by saying, just decide to be obedient. Just decide to be obedient to your parents. Are there rules at the school? Well, I don't understand. Just decide to be obedient. Are there rules in your home? Yeah, but I don't. Just decide to be obedient. Does this book have rules? Does it have thou shalt and thou shalt not? Stop fussing with God and just say, hey, glad to do it, Lord. You've been so good to me. I mean, did you hear the, listen, we can amen when these ladies are singing that about the grace of God. Does that amen ever make it all the way down to your wallet? I mean, when you really understand what Jesus did for you, I mean, everything I have is God's. I gave it to him a long time ago. Man, you know what? I'll do this on a regular basis. I'll walk over and I enjoy the home we live and I'll put my hand on this. I said, God, you know this is yours. Anytime you need it or want it, you just tell me.
Right.
And our vehicles, all the stuff I have. You know, many times I'll go put my hands on my dog and say, oh, God, please take this dog. I don't know how I got stuck with that dog. Rosie. Yeah, Rosie. Please, God, take this dog. I want to give it all. This little fat blonde dog. I have offered, this is true, over 100 times I've had somebody come on my property, and before they left, I'd say, hey, you can have that dog for a nickel. 100 times I've made that offer, and not one person has ever reached in their pocket and pulled out a nickel. So I'll go outside and I'll feed the dog and I'll say, hey, you realize over 100 people don't even think you're worth a nickel. She just looks at me and smiles. No, you're not understanding this. Over 100 people could have taken you home and they didn't think you were. Everything belongs to God. All right, so here's your opportunity for the next week, okay? And then Sunday's coming, okay? Next Sunday's coming. And you look back over the previous week and you say, what has God increased me? And then you bring that tithe and attach an offering to it. By the way, Sunday school, you want a real blessing? To put some money in the plate during Sunday school, that all goes to missions. Wednesday night, you know, all the projects around here when they happen, you know, I got a part in all of that, keeping the church building looking nice and the improvements and all of that. I got a part of that. Now, okay, but I don't know if I want to do that. Let me just go review this, okay? You got a chance to do this next week. Preacher, you don't know how poor we are. We can't even hire 4 groceries. Wonder why. Do you understand God's asking something that's a leap of faith? He said, prove me. Prove me. I know it don't make sense. Preacher, that this is ridiculous. It does not make sense that 90 or 85 or 80% ought to go farther than 100. It may not make sense, but it's true.
Yes, sir. That's right.
All right, so next Sunday morning, you're going to have a choice. All right, I can keep what belongs to God, and I can show him that I'm not appreciative by keeping the offering too, and I guess rob him if the Bible's true. And have a curse upon my life for another week if the Bible's true, knowing that God's still going to get this tithe.
Right.
So I'm going to lose it anyway, and more. I won't receive the blessings that he wanted to pour out on me. I will have a devourer unleashed in my life, and I've given God another really good reason to bring judgment upon my country. But preacher, knowing all that, I think I'll just keep robbing God. Well, bring the basin in, because I'm washing my hands of your blood, because your preacher's told you exactly what the Bible said. Or you can walk in next week and say, Lord, I'm not going to do that. The tithe belongs to you. And by the way, even though it's a sacrifice,
right,
and a real step of faith. We're adding to this. And you know what? We're going to believe you, that you're going to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon our life. And you know what? We also believe that you're going to take that devourer that keeps coming and destroying our lives and pull that devourer back out of our life. And Lord, I want you to know that I love America. And if this was the only reason you gave, it would be worth it to bring God's blessing back on my country. You know what? That's the windows of blessing, the windows of heaven. Hey, you know what? That's how you get them open. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to bring this message, Lord. And Lord, thank you for Malachi chapter 3. For some folks, this portion of Scripture is an irritant. It's something that they despise. Something that a preacher just has to say, turn to Malachi chapter 3, and they're upset. But for many of us, maybe all of us, I don't know, it's a source of joy and peace and excitement because we've proved it over and over and over and over again in our lives. Oh God, I pray, dear Lord, that you'd, to the person who didn't know, Lord, that they've received instruction, help them, Lord, to take this to heart and to just begin to watch the process of God's blessing. To someone who maybe has known it but isn't doing it, Lord, I pray that we'd experience real-hearted repentance and, Lord, to be right in this area and seek forgiveness and get that put under the blood and go forward being honorable in this area of our life, Lord. And the windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. Oh, we can experience that. I pray that you'd help us to do it in Jesus' name.